good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Thomas Torero with the internet's most regular pickup podcast, coming at you weekly. Give it a rate, give it a review on iTunes, or perhaps you're watching it, you're watching a blank slide for 30 minutes on YouTube. But cheers for the follow, cheers for the download. Let us dive into today's pickup topic, which is on the cult of personality, not just fame, but real magnetism, real charisma, real control, that women worship these men, but also men worship these leaders. Why, how, that's what we shall talk about today. First of all, some housekeeping. I shall be in Paris this week, this Thursday, the 26th of October, doing a meet and greet, a book signing, have a beer with me, come and say hello. I've done Day Game before many times in Paris, but it was quite a while ago. So it'll be nice to be back. It will be nice to see guys that perhaps I've coached, to meet new guys, just to have a bit of a chat. So that is this Thursday, as I said, 8:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. Spread the word. We're having a beer in Belushi's Bar, Gare du Nord. So just Google Belushi's, B-E-L-U-S-H-I, apostrophe S. Gare du Nord, next to the train station, just opposite the main entrance. That is this week. I've been very active on my website, on the blog there, www.tomtorero.com. I don't know why. Maybe it's the cold. Maybe it's because I'm trying to delay editing this bloody documentary. But anyway, every day as I've been eating in a cafe, I've been putting up posts. There's one on alphas. There's one on betas and neediness. There is a lay report from this trip to Russia, my favorite one, like a game of chess. There's one on micro calibration, which links to the YouTube video. That's something advanced that you asked for. There's an interview with me done by a Japanese pickup website. There's a little mini article on a coffee bridge date idea. And there's a comment article on playing fair. Is life fair? Is evolution fair? Is the dating, mating, dance, quote unquote, fair. So that's all on the blog for free to read. In about 45 minutes, I'm going to the airport, flying from Russia to London. Then I'm getting a train from London to Wales, time with the family, that little side trip to Paris, back to the UK. And then I'm very excited to be going to Japan. So it's quite a hectic schedule. Oh, last announcement. As I'm recording this podcast, I'm waiting for a notification from Amazon because I uploaded my Kindle version of Cold Calling, finally, how to meet and pick up and seduce girls in the former Soviet Union and here in Russia. So as soon as that happens, it will be live. It will be available to read on your Kindle. So there's the paperback version on Lulu, but then there'll be this worldwide for sale immediately Kindle version. There we go. Okay, cult of personality, not just fame, as I said, so not just Justin Bieber, but really powerful men that exert great influence. The quote, the definition for cult of personality being, when an individual uses mass media, propaganda, which you could argue all media is, or other methods to create an idealized, heroic, and at times worshipful image. So it doesn't really matter about your politics. This is not about partisan politics. Try and look at the common themes. What do these men have? What do their behaviors have that are common? What can we learn from them? The dark arts are involved, of dark triad traits. Why do women find them so attractive? And why are men so persuaded by such characters? Think of Pablo Escobar. Think of Vladimir Putin. Think of O.J. Simpson. Obviously, think of Trump. Think of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Remember Pumping Iron? Think of Stalin. We shall come on to the whys and the hows in this podcast. And the germ for this podcast started when I was told by another pickup guy to watch the documentary called I Am Not Your Guru, a behind the scenes of Tony Robbins and his mass emotional events that he puts on. And the guy was basically saying, you know, is Tony Robbins the real deal, Tom, or do you think this is manipulation? But it's a documentary, basically a promo video for Tony Robbins. I watched it, and ironically the film's called I Am Not Your Guru, but really it's about the brand of Robbins and it inflates his guru status. The answer to whether I think the Tony Robbins live coaching thing from him is manipulative, I would say, well, if you watch that documentary, it's clear he has a big heart, he has a big soul, he's very human. He certainly tries to help people. But there's no doubt that there's elements of a cult setup to it. I'm not saying it is a cult, like a pickup company isn't a cult, but it has pickup elements to it, like a political party. Sorry, it has cultish elements to it, just like we shall talk about with political parties. And I'm aware that Tony Robbins touches on these dark triad traits. So whether he gets the play within the play, the irony within the irony, I don't know. But you could start off by watching that. I Am Not Your Guru, all about Tony Robbins. And yeah, I've already mentioned it. You might suddenly, immediately, when you see this podcast, say, well, hang on, isn't pick up a cult? Isn't, some guys say, well, isn't a massive company like Real Social Dynamics, RSD in America, isn't that a cult? Because it has a cult-like structure and leaders and followers and rules and blah, blah, blah. We shall define cult towards the end of the podcast, but I get it. My message for this is saying no. What I try to ram home to you all the time is about being a black sheep, being making your own decisions. You can try the pickup detox that I regularly mention, you know, going out the 10 for 10 challenge. Try not to read my stuff or anybody else's stuff. Try not to watch online stuff for 10 days and just go out and do pickup for yourself. My advice is meant to be liberating. It's certainly not meant to be starting a cult. But I do get why some people say, okay, you've got a room full of guys. Tom, you're speaking at the front, or there's this pickup instructor. You're putting out material and videos and podcasts. So aren't you creating a cult? This is something different. I'm certainly not saying I have a cult of personality, but I do accept that salesmen, hustlers, seducers, teachers, leaders, of course, have to have some charisma and magnetism. I asked you on my blog for this week's podcast to maybe watch one of the documentaries I listed. There was one by Louis Theroux, his Scientology documentary. Again, we'll come on to Scientology in a bit. There was one on the hippie commune in the 70s in LA about Father Yod, called The Source Family, which started out as a vegan restaurant, then a yoga thing, and then a retreat house. And then he had a wife, and then he opened it up to sexual healing. Good on Father Yod. And then I've forgotten how many wives he had, 10, 12, 15 wives or something. All these girls were 18 years old, obviously, 19, 20, 21, hot girls in the 70s with Father Yod, giving them some sexual loving on a very deep level. And then a weird ending to that documentary, which I won't say. But he's still seen as a cult figure, certainly this magnetic personality, no doubt about it, whether you say he is an incarnation of God or he was just a hustler. And the other one I asked you to watch, which is a cracker, is called Gringo, The Dangerous Life of John McAfee. You might remember the name McAfee from your antiviral software in the early days of the internet, and then you might remember his name from him being a fugitive down in Belize, where he was running all sorts of startup schemes. And then maybe you've heard the name John McAfee because he tried to stand for the presidency of the United States of America, despite previous accusations of murder and gun running and drug smuggling, whatever. But it's a fascinating story about a fascinating man who's still going, who's still, a specialist now in internet security. But watch him, watch his mannerisms, his personality, how he affects those around him. And hopefully you'll get similarities with Father Yod and Scientology leaders. Is this a new thing? Is this about the internet? Is this about game? Is this recent manipulation and spin? No, there's always been from, you know, the pharaohs, from Greek emperors, a reverence for monarchs, for heads of state, for the divine leaders in history, people believing they have divine powers or whatever. And then with obviously with photography and with sound recording and then film and then onto TV, so we're getting into Hollywood and movie making and now the internet, of course people's reach for this magnetic influence is obviously a lot bigger. So propaganda's spread from papyrus to the internet. But throughout history, leaders slash dictators have these personality cults, religious leaders. And what the fuck is going on? Why do seemingly rational, intelligent, calm, quote-unquote normal people become lemmings, become white sheeps, get herded into pens, and they come out the other side sometimes going, what the fuck happened? So really, this is not about politics. It doesn't matter, for the sake of learning about persuasion and pick up what your politics are. Find the common influence techniques. Look for the common threads, as I say. How do these people gain power? What is their frame control like? More importantly, how do they reframe? How do they keep frame? How do they persuade others to march towards death in many cases? Why and how? And it's a good warning. You watch those documentaries, certainly about things like Scientology or the Father Yod one, the Source Family, and you think, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't be cannon fodder for a dictator with a personality cult. Understand that it's theatrics. Don't get played. Just stand back and think, am I getting played right now by a charismatic leader? Am I just blindly following? Perhaps some of the techniques revealed today will explain to you how that's happened. Another documentary I have watched, you can tell I'm watching a shitload of documentaries because I've been hibernating here in Russia, but doing my quote-unquote research for documentary filmmaking. Loads of people were saying, Tom, you've got to see this documentary about Roger Stone, the spin doctor. So it's called Get Me Roger Stone, the man behind many successful political campaigns in America. Not really what I'm interested in, but a fascinating man that certainly is charismatic, magnetic, using dark triad techniques. He understands hustling and manipulation. And I love his quote, politics is show business for ugly people. So he recognizes the links between show business and politics and theatrics and Hollywood and cult of personality. So you're thinking, well, this all happens to stupid people. It never applies to intelligent people like me. I would never fall for this. I would never be in a cult. Well, a good place to start is to think about Scientology. The more popular Scientology documentary, perhaps it came out before the Louis Theroux one, is called Going Clear. Yeah, that's a cracker as well. Scientology and the Prison of Belief. And of course, it looks at Travolta and Cruz, but it really shines the light on David Miscavige, the extremely charismatic leader right now of Scientology, who took over after the wacky, you could say mentally ill, sci-fi originator L. Ron Hubbard. But Miscavige is the real interesting dark triad character that you can look at. And forget about Travolta and Cruz. Look at the people with PhDs, scientists, very normal, rational people. Their interviews, their testimonies, how they got caught up in Scientology for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, giving away hundreds of thousands of pounds and falling for obvious pseudo-scientific waffle and gibberish. But how the fuck does David Miscavige get people to do these things? Well, the documentary answers that. And whether you support Barack Obama, or you're a fan of O.J. Simpson, or you're a big fan of Putin, or you love Castro, or Kim Jong, or Donald Trump, obviously, you got to think, what is it about the person who you perhaps idolize? You might even say you worship that person. What is it about them? Because rationally you think, oh, it's their politics. Is it? Why are some politicians, why are some religious leaders, why are some famous people, why do they have this magnetic appeal and others don't? Well, why do men race to power? Let's get back to biology and girls for a minute. It's the apex alpha thing, yeah? Women are attracted to power. Men are attracted to beauty. I've said many times, women are attracted to power. So obviously men want to be powerful. That's why we do what we do. And we want to be the top of whatever pyramid we're in. The best rock climber in our club, the best runner, the best musician, the best manager in our workplace, the best guy at school in that social circle showing off with his skateboarding. We just want to be the apex alpha because that is what gets girls, no doubt about it. Power. So we know how fame works. I've made a podcast on pre-selection. Women find it attractive. They're just drawn to it like moths to a flame. So a good example of this is a geeky English teacher abroad or a diving instructor, or think of this one. If you've read Power of Now, or you know about this guy, Eckhart Tolle, a kind of a weedy, hippie-ish, slightly, well, very geeky guy, who is basically like a cult leader. Loads of women in that audience, 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, they just find this guy magnetic and hypnotizing and therefore attractive because he's got all this power from pre-selection. The scarcity principle, there's only one of him, the audience is many. The jealousy thing kicks in with them, the leader of men, all these are the mystery attraction switches. He's a protector because he's a powerful leader. So, social proof through the fucking roof like a rock band. On someone as geeky as Eckhart Tolle. So if he can do it, you can certainly learn from it. And for those guys, it's why they don't actively game. Because if you've got that level of pre-selection, it happens. And obviously, as I said in that pre-selection podcast, this is easier to do in night game when you can run groups and entourages and fake pre-selection. In the day, it's a bit harder. But that podcast goes into how you can use pre-selection to amplify your sexual market value. But anyway, are those benevolent people, you could say like Tolle or Tony Robbins, are they really talking about altruism? Are they really talking about the success of that group or the survival of the species, as some misinformed biologists still call it? No, because biology doesn't care about the survival of a species. There's examples like bees and wasps and ants where, yeah, there is a clever genetic shuffling of the cards, which does involve groups, but it's the individual, it's the selfish gene, as Richard Dawkins says. We don't have time to go into why it's not the species, but it's the gene. But that's really important, because whilst it might seem that a benevolent communist socialist leader is out to help his country or help his tribe, look closer. Because power is really coming down to that individual. That's the power struggle. He's the person women find attractive. So access to females, obviously access to land and territory. We've spoken about this when I'm talking about the meaning of wars and why men ultimately sail off and fight. Territory, yes, but access to females, fuck yeah. Okay, women are drawn to power. So I think a lot of this, as a biologist, I would say this is why cults are started. This is why a lot of guys become politicians. This is why guys scrabble to be charismatic leaders, why they develop this cult of personality. This is why these traits exist largely in men. Okay, there's always that odd female high testosterone example, but this is a male thing, because we're not attracted to powerful females, but women are attracted to powerful men. So men have to learn to become powerful. And on the micro scale, you think, yeah, if I do teach English abroad, okay, I might be the apex alpha. If I am a ski instructor or a diving instructor, or I work in a hostel, interesting. And then the guy thinks, well, if I am a local politician, interesting. If I am a president of a country, oh, very interesting. If I start my own cult and have all these followers, interesting. So that's really what I think. And if you are debating, well, that's nonsense, you can't just start a religion, an ideology, a belief system, well, you fucking can. There's a great documentary called Kumara, K-U-M-A-R-E, I think, about a guy who is American, but he pretends to be Indian. He's got Indian heritage, to start a mumbo jumbo cult in the US, and it goes far better than expected, and all these people join up, and he invents like a language and practices and rules, and they get really into it, and he doesn't have the heart to break it to them that it's all fake. He has to at the end, obviously for the moral documentary reasons, but they're quite shocked at how easy that was to be a charismatic leader. So you think that you can't form a religion, it really shows how and why religions evolved outside of that meta spiritual need, that mystical longing. I'm talking about human power and getting laid, but Kumara is a good one for that. So let's get into the tricks, the dirty tricks of spin, of disinformation, how someone can develop a cult of personality. Think of, if you're in the US, think of House of Cards. If you're in the UK, think of The Thick of It. So dirty tricks of Westminster and Washington, and you can even think of dirty tricks of North Korea. Again, doesn't matter about sides. Now we're starting to think of common threads of propaganda. Yeah? So, cult traits. And I'm not calling everything in this podcast a cult, but certainly common traits from cults apply to all these things. So cults sharply differentiate between the in-group and outsiders, who they term enemies. Okay, so even if we're talking about politics, or we're talking about religious leaders, think about how these cult traits apply. You develop the difference between your in-group and outsiders. Then you need loyalty. So therefore, you need oaths. People have to pledge allegiance, okay, for this charismatic leader to rise. The group has a strong hierarchical organization. Essential. Otherwise, there would be no apex alpha. Men are not stupid. And with this, because humans are not very good at being controlled, ultimately, it usually breaks down. So there has to be strict control to ensure conformity and the veneration of the leader. And just those words, veneration of leader, straight away spring into mind. You should have historical figures, political figures, religious figures. Don't need to explain that. But that's how it happens. And the cult has to have some kind of belief system. And I would argue that it's pretty irrelevant. It's pretty made up. If you've watched Monty Python's Life of Brian, he's not the Messiah, he's just a very naughty boy. You'll know what I'm talking about if you're British. And many cult leaders, like in that Kumare thing, many religious leaders, even many politicians say, yeah, I don't actually give a fuck about what I'm preaching. It's all nonsense. Jesus, look at Scientology. Look at when you get into the higher levels of the bridge, I think they call it, when you pay for shit, and then they reveal the truths about lizards and exploding volcanoes and aliens, and you're like, what the fuck is this? But they're just laughing, the leaders. They're literally saying, I can't believe people fall for this shit. So that's what I'm saying. Just slow down with your politics a little bit today and think, am I believing these policies, or am I believing a charismatic leader? Okay, so yeah, there's symbols, loads of symbols. If you want to start a religion or a cult or a political party, you've got to have symbols, you've got to have myths, so simple stories, simple narratives. This is all for in-group cohesion. So you're one of us, everyone else who isn't, they're the enemy, they're evil. Anything that's different, it's got to be hated. In Scientology, it's got to be banished, and they stalk people and follow people and sue people. I might even get sued for this podcast. Yeah, it's all got to be shut down. Yeah, because the belief system is the utopia. We are going to heaven, or we are, these things are awaiting us. All the virgins are awaiting us, or eternal life, or living until you're a zillion. I've forgotten what the Scientology is. Or this scenario in politics is going to happen. So this is the utopian ideal that we must stick to. Think of North Korea, yeah? And if somebody, as I said, is not a member, well, they're stupid, they're blind, they're dangerous. And we've got to come up with some kind of theory as to why. To recruit, you obviously have to proselytize, yeah? That's cold calling. So you have to spread the message, usually with a little book. In these days with technology and the internet, the message can be spread extremely quickly. Cults often believe that any means is justified to the end. So crazy things happen in cults. People get swept up to find the utopian ideal and do crazy things, because these leaders can make people be like lemmings, be like sheep, as I said. And that's why I keep stressing, be the black sheep. Do your own fucking thing. Be your own cult leader. Follow yourself. Don't follow Tom Torero or Tony Robbins. And all cults, all political parties, all religious leaders have at their core, they say, we will triumph. We will triumph. Of course we will triumph. You know, join us. Be on the right side of history. Cult leaders, people with the cult of personality, magnetic leaders, are extremely good. This is what it comes down to. Extremely good with frame and reframe. Whether they know it's performance art or not, I don't know. But their frame control is fantastic. Their reframes, the ability to pass tests, to keep all those cult traits and beliefs going is amazing. So you can think about Arnold Schwarzenegger in Pumping Iron, his frame. I've made a video on him. You can think about OJ Simpson, if you've seen that series about the development and the fascination with OJ Simpson, how he had that allure, that fan base. You can think of John McAfee, as I said, Tony Robbins, any religious leader, any political leader. Obviously, people are now obsessing about Trump. But just think about their frame, all right, and what you can learn from their frame. I'm not talking about their policies or politics. How do they handle shit tests? How does Vladimir Putin project some real alpha badass traits that you can learn from? They can be benevolent dictators. I'm not listing people and saying all these people are wicked and evil and all Dark Triad is wrong. No, I've said how Dark Triad is integral to the player. To it's the dark side of game, which is part of game, which is part of being charismatic with women. Benevolent dictators, what's the old saying? One person's freedom fighter is another person's terrorist. Same with the leader. You might say, fucking hell, Putin, that's terrible. But another person says, no, he's our leader. Same with North Korea. Same with your politics. You obviously side with that person. Many people don't. So, yeah, I'm not saying it's all bad. Benevolent dictators we can talk about. But obviously, many leaders in history have to rule with fear and intimidation. So we see the spying and the paranoia that sets in. The narcissism goes out of control. These are the Dark Triad things. The Machiavellianism, the sneakiness, I've spoken about that. And the psychopathy. There's definitely a Kafka-esque-ness to all this, you know, a heart of darkness thing. Especially when we start talking about pimps. So to have this control, yeah, you have to rule with an iron rod, an iron fist. Is that what they say? With the fear, with the intimidation. There's the paranoia, the Macbeth-like paranoia. So even though you become king, it's like somebody's going to try and oust you, and there's people spying on you. There's people who want your power, whether that's real or not. So that's why we shall finish this podcast, because it's flying by, just looking at the watch. We shall finish by recommending once again the famous book called 48 Laws of Power. You've probably read it if you've been in the seduction community a long time, by Robert Greene. Robert Greene is not a pickup artist, so a lot of the laws contradict each other. They're a bit woolly. He doesn't say how you can apply them, certainly not with girls. But a good pickup artist can just scan the 48 laws of power and say, yep, that's true, that's true, that's true, that's bollocks. I know how to do that, I know how to do that. And that's what I did. So I'm going to read the ones I selected, and rather than just thinking about pickup, think about how it applies to creating a cult of personality, creating a cult, creating a political party, creating a religious following. Think of a leader in history that you consider to be very charismatic and persuasive, for good or for evil, quote unquote, however you perceive them. And to finish, yeah, I'll pick out the laws of power that stood out from Robert Greene's book and see the similarities. So the first one that stood out says, use your enemies and hire former enemies. You see that in the John McAfee documentary. The second one I picked out says, conceal your intentions, keep people off balance. The third one says, say less than is needed, be vague. Oh, there's vagueness in politics and religion. The next one says, court attention at all costs. Yes, 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 whether you're a player, a politician, or a religious leader, yes. A sneaky one, let others do the work, but take credit. The next one says, keep people dependent on you. Oh yes, that's happened in history. Be selectively honest. Generosity disarms. Pose as a friend, work as a spy. Keep others in suspended terror. So ruling with the iron fist. Recreate yourself. Be the master of your own image. Oh yes. Play on people's need to believe. So here's where Robert Greene really nails the cult of personality. He says, keep your words vague but full of promise. Enthusiasm over rationality. Give disciples rituals. Ask them to make sacrifices. Offer a cause, a new faith. People want to believe in something. Correct. Be royal in your fashion. Act like a king. Have the swagger, we say in pickup, yeah? Create compelling spectacles. People are drawn to drama. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So strike at the source, basically banish those people who don't follow. Don't negotiate, just banish. Preach the need for change, but never reform too much at once. Oh, how that applies to politics. And finally, assume formlessness. If you have a visible plan, you're open to attack. So stay adaptable and on the move. And there you go. That brings us 360 back to that lay report I wrote from Russia, where I'm talking about the analogies with chess. We've gone over time. That was podcast 127 on the cult of personality. The next podcast will be recorded in the UK, but perhaps I will see you in Paris before then on the 26th, 8:30 in Belushi's Gare du Nord. Keep grabbing life by the horns. Thank you for supporting what I do. And from Russia, finally this year, I shall say goodbye. Comrades, до свидания.